Welcome to episode 336 of the Rugby League Republic podcast with your hosts,
Tish
and Dr. T. In this episode, our first one for 2025, the 10th season of Rugby League Republic, we give you our wild yet well-considered predictions for the 2025 NRL season. Join us as we build a rugby league community for all. The Rugby League Republic podcast starts right now. All right, welcome to episode 336 of the Rugby League Republic podcast, and welcome to 2025, and we aim to bring you everyday fans' perspective on the greatest game of all, Rugby League. This is Rugby League for the people. I am your co-host, Dr. T. Joining me is Tish. Tish, welcome to 2025 in the world of Rugby League.
Hello, listeners. Hello, Dr. T. 2025 NRL. We are back, baby. And, you know, it feels like the NRL is already back. I think the season seems like it's already commenced with all these trials in Las Vegas, but it's been great. But Dr. T, yeah, it's good to be back on our 10th year of the Rugby League Republic, I believe. And what a 10 years it's been. But how was your off season?
Well, I'm glad to say that, you know, any holidays that I took, I managed to get into my hotel room safely, unlike some Canberra Raiders players over there in Vegas. But look, yeah, it was a great off season. I think it was I think we do need to, you know, the regular person, as much as we all love rugby league, the regular person does need to unwind and disconnect a little bit once in a while. And I think it was good to kind of not have to, you know, listen to the barrage of negative rugby league press and, you know, scandals and things like that. It was actually good to kind of, you know, sit back and enjoy other sports and have a bit of a break, enjoy the nice hot Australian weather here. But I have to tell you, I think I got some withdrawal symptoms from about a few weeks ago, which kind of timed perfectly with various NRL products and games and things starting up. The Indigenous Challenge, the All Stars Challenge, sorry, the Indigenous and the Maori Challenge, and obviously the big one, the Las Vegas Round One coming up very, very shortly. But yeah, what about you? Well, how did you deal with the lack of rugby league in the off season?
Well, look, I did get you know, fiercely into the cricket, and the cricket was actually really exciting this year. It was great. Like, you know, obviously Australia and India for the Border Gavaskar Trophy, lots of controversy. But then I'll be honest, there was a bit of a void once the cricket season was finished, and I was just getting ready for the rugby league to get underway once again. So it's probably been that. Like, I think I'm really looking forward to this year. Obviously, there's like a lot of changes. It's really, really hard to predict what's going to happen this year because of just the movements that have happened around the players, the coaches. And I think, I think the crystal ball has got its work cut out for it today.
Absolutely. And look, but before we launch into that, you did allude to some changes. And so I thought I'd start before we launch into the crystal ball, the traditional first episode of every year, we do the crystal ball, the predictions for the year. Before we get into that, I did want to talk about some changes we're going to do to the RLR podcast, the Rugby League Republic podcast this year in 2025. Just want to take a few minutes to discuss that. So look, over the off season, we've had some time to reflect on who we are and what our mission is here at the Rugby League Republic. This is timely given that it's our 10th year of the podcast. And anyway, so Tish and I have had a bit of a discussion and we've reaffirmed our primary mission to be to establish a rugby league community of regular people and fans who love the game, enjoy good conversations, and sharing stories about the game, its people, and the impact it has on our lives. We want to share our passion for the game so that its popularity grows and it is recognized as the greatest game of all. So essentially, we are on a mission to convert people to be rugby league fans. So we want to see ourselves as, you know, kind of like the gateway to rugby league fandom, and for the regular person and for everyone really. So now that's not too different to what we've always been on about. But what we realized when we look back on some of the things that we've been doing is that perhaps we can do better at focusing on our core mission and the bigger issues in rugby league. We certainly have had a lot of fun in the years gone by with some very meaty discussions. So we thought, why not do more of that? So with that in mind, we thought, let's make some changes to the structure of our podcasts, as well as how often we release them. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to be focusing more on some of the big issues and conversations rather than the weekly kind of game reviews, tips, and brushing over kind of news topics. We're not going to be doing weekly podcasts. They'll be a bit less frequent, but we're going to be spending more time to make them more interesting and focused on the big issues. And also, we try to be more informative and entertaining as well. We're going to bring back some of the formats that we tried out during the beginning of COVID. Some of you may remember we did some special episodes on the greatest rivalries and almost fairy tales. We had a lot of fun with those, and we have lots of great ideas of future specials. So we're going to do more of those this year. And we've also got a bunch of other great ideas based on, you know, some of the things that have gone well over the years, but also some of the feedback we've received from the podcast. So stay tuned, because we've got a lot of great ideas for what we're going to do this year. It's just not going to feel like necessarily a week to week thing where we go over game by game. But that doesn't mean we will never talk about the games. Of course, we're going to talk about the games, but we're going to talk about some of the bigger issues as well and have a lot of fun along the way. We're also obviously going to continue to do things like the special State of Origin Raw Reaction podcast. You know, why not? That's what happens with State of Origin. It's all about passion. So we find that it's a lot of fun to kind of turn on the recording as soon as a State of Origin game is finished, Tish, so that we can get a raw reaction, anger, disappointment, whatever is the emotion. We find that those podcasts are very, very interesting for you guys as well as us. And look, the main thing we just wanted to say, just in summary, is that, you know, we've had some time to reflect on what we do in these podcasts, and we figure it's better to have a better focus, a stronger focus on some of the things that we really enjoy doing and we do well, things like great analysis, conversations, and talking about the big issues. So, look, with that in mind and that out of the way, let's put on our Nostradamus hats and... Yeah.
Hey, look, I'll just like to add one thing to it is that I think you're right, Dr. I think our real passion is that we enjoy rugby league. We are fans. We like to keep it fun. And I think that's what we want to do, right? So we kind of, and I think what to expect from us is an enjoyable show every time we put on. That's what we aim to do, right?
Absolutely. And we want to make sure as well that whether you're a casual fan or a real, you know, one-eye blue, one-eye gold like me, whatever your persuasion in this game of rugby league in fandom, you know, you should have something to listen to, something to think about. We hope to provoke some interesting discussion. We love talking about the big issues. We talk about them a lot, so why not focus more on them? And that's kind of where we landed on our discussions and our thoughts recently. I think it's not just because it's been a bit of a quiet off season. I think it's also, you know, when you get to a big milestone like a 10th year, you do sort of reflect and look back and say, how are we doing? And so we really appreciate all the listeners over the years. We've grown our membership our listenership, you know, quite substantially from the beginning, which is great. And we want to keep growing. We want more and more people to enjoy what we talk about and just see us as a bunch of friends just sort of sitting around talking about the game that we love. That's really what it's all about. We're not here to do talk about coaching strategies or analysis. We're not the experts on that. We don't proclaim to be experts. We don't proclaim to be, you know, we're not former players. We're not, you know, we will have opinions about how our team should play the game, but that doesn't mean that we do it with any authority. We're just like a regular fan, just like you guys out there. And I think we just want to have fun. So that's exactly what Tish said. Focus on fun, but also on just having regular chats, just like you would with a friend. Think of us as your friend on the other end of a headphone or an earphone. That's what we're all about. So look, now that that's out of the way, let's move on, and we're going to put our Nostradamus hats on now. We're going to peer into our crystal ball. So here we go with our 2025 season preview, the RLR crystal ball. All right, so this year we've got, well, the same predictions as we always have. The way we do it is we'll do a little bit of a point system for each of those predictions. At the end of the year, we'll have a bit of a laugh and a look back and see how way off we were. And just for fun, we'll give each other points if we get any of these things right, which we never do. And I've got evidence for it. But anyway, it's fun to talk about. And look, for a few of these predictions, we're going to enlist the help of our good old friend Chad GPT, who I believe has undergone a vocal reconstruction. So yes. might sound
now
different.
Powered by DeepSeek's reasoning tool. That's right.
He's gone for a bit of a holiday in China and come back with a different voice. So yep. You know, like that's what happens. But look, let's launch into it. As we usually do, the main first prediction we talk about is predicting the top eight in the NRL. 1 point for each correct. Traditionally, we're pretty bad at this. We usually don't get more than 4 or 5 out of the 8, but let's see what we go. Tish, do you want to kick things off?
Yeah, absolutely. So what I've got, and I've listed them in the order I think that they'll finish, but I've got minor premiers Melbourne Storm, then I've got the Cronulla Sharks, the Penrith Panthers, the Canterbury Bulldogs, the North Queensland Cowboys, the St. George Illawarra Dragons, and then sneaking into the 8, I've got the Brisbane Broncos.
Wow, that's excellent. So look, I guess I could do the same thing. I don't know who the minor premiers will be, but I think it'll be either the Panthers or the Storm. I've put the Panthers at number one, and then I've got the Storm. These are the two obvious teams that I think will be there yet again. The rest of them are up for grabs, and I noticed that my next team, I am predicting to make a bit of a comeback. They did pretty well a couple of years ago, and last year kind of fell off the wagon. I'm predicting the Warriors to bounce back and bounce back in a big way and make a real push for the premiership. So I'm predicting that with what's his name? James Fisher Harris. At the Warriors, I think there will be some changes afoot there, and I think he's going to bring them the necessary strength that they need and experience to get them in there. So Warriors, for me, will get there. Then I've got the Bulldogs, as you do. I think the Bulldogs have shown that they've got the ability and leadership under Crichton to kind of make it again. So I don't know whether they will get in the top four, but I've put them as fourth. I've got the Eels in the top eight. Now, I know a lot of people are thinking, you know, Dr. T, are you kidding? Are they contenders for the wooden spoon? I don't think so. I've seen a little bit already from the Ryles era, and I think there's some young players there that are going to grow into the role this year. You know, it remains to be seen. This is why it's a prediction. I don't know how clear the crystal ball will be, but I'm predicting the Eels will get there. I've got Manly there. Now, I noticed you didn't have Manly, which is very interesting, but I think Manly deserve to be there and will be there again. I've got the Dragons as well, but I've got them sneaking into eighth position. Again, I think you put Clint Gutherson, you've got some other players there that, you know, under the leadership of Shane Flanagan, I think will have good structure in place, and they're on the up. A team that I think you've got there as well as 8, although I've got them as 7, is the Broncos. I think the Broncos will bounce back in a big way, and I'm looking forward to Maguire, the new Maguire era of discipline, no off-field incidents. And yeah. Yeah, well, who am I kidding? Yeah, yeah, it's Nostradamus is not a dreamland, but like, let's see if the Broncos can actually bump up their stocks a little bit this year. I believe they'll be really, really strong this year, probably not to the, you know, the 2 years ago kind of effort, but they'll go close. So I think they'll bounce back into the 8. And look, I noticed that there are other teams that I'm predicting not to make it. You might think, what's going on? Yes, I don't think the Sharks will make it. I think they've lost the plot a little bit towards the end and will not recover. I think the Cowboys as well, you've got them in there. I'm not sure. Or you could throw in even the what are they called? The Dolphins potentially in there. I don't think not everyone can make the top 8. So that's my top 8.
It's been harder than most years. I think it's been harder than most years. And I think it's interesting because you've had, I remember Phil Goodright this year. He's talking about NRL games experience. And that's his predictor. But I think you end up having like about 11 teams in the top 8, right? So I don't know if that's – and I think even for one of the teams is like, all right, well, they've lost a lot of NRL experience. So last year they had 2,500 games of NRL experience, and this year they have – well, they've got 2,500 games of NRL experience with, you know, the losses against. So I don't know if – so people are going out there doing it. And then it's interesting. I was really close to having the Eels in the top 8 too, because, you know, part of the reason why I think the Panthers will fall a little bit is because they go from having one of the most stable halves pairing to having a new pair in halves, where the Eels actually have the most stable halves pairing. They've actually had more seasons together than any other combination. But, so if you reason that, then the Eels should be there. But then it was like, you know, they didn't make it. They were so far behind. So it's going to be very interesting, but shall we see what AI through ChatGPT, what they think?
Let's do it.
Melbourne Storm. With a robust squad and strategic acquisitions, the Storm are considered the team to beat this season. The Guardian. Penrith Panthers. Despite significant player departures, the Panthers' depth and winning culture position them as formidable contenders. The Guardian. Cronulla Sharks. Under coach Craig Fitzgibbon, the Sharks have shown strong form and are expected to challenge for the top spot. The Guardian. Manly Sea Eagles. The team's success hinges on the health of star player Tom Trbojevic, making them a team to watch closely. The Guardian. Dolphins. After a challenging period post-Wayne Bennett, the Dolphins aim to rebound under coach Christian Wolf, with high hopes for the season. The Guardian. Canterbury Bulldogs. Following an impressive 2024 season, the Bulldogs face questions about sustaining their success, but remain a team to watch. The Guardian. New Zealand Warriors. Despite key player departures, the Warriors have promising young talent that may help them remain competitive. The Guardian. Brisbane Broncos. Despite challenges with aging players and a new coach, the Broncos are expected to make it to the finals, ranked 8th.
Wow, what do you think?
That's a pretty strong lineup and good rationale for each of those. So, well done, Chad. You have gained a new accent, but you have also gained knowledge, which is absolutely very scary. So, well done. Looking forward to his other predictions. Let's move on to the next one. Now, this is going to be an interesting one once you hear my one. Predicting the NRL grand finalist and winner. Those of you who've been listening over the years know that I use this particular prediction as more of a wish wish list than anything else. I've predicted the Eels winning many, many years in a row. And surprise, I'm predicting that they'll win this year as well. I've got this year, Tish, I promise there's a good feeling about the Eels. Eels versus Bulldogs, my dream grand final, and the Eels will win. That's my prediction. What about you?
Yeah, I've gone for a rematch, Melbourne versus the Panthers. And look, part of the reason why I just felt that you could kind of tell last year that, you know, they were kind of like teams 1 and 2, and then they kind of flogged everybody else once I got into the top eight. And I think Melbourne's roster is pretty much been stable. They've got the motivation to win it after losing it last year, where I think obviously the Panthers are probably losing a step with some of the key personnel that they've lost. And it's not just that. The other thing I kind of thought about with the Panthers a little bit is that, like, when you start to go, okay, there's an injury Cleary, so it's going to be Schneider and, and Blaise Talungi in the halves. That's not really a good halves combination, right? But if they lose one of the centers, who are they going to replace them? Because they've got no Crichton anymore, right? Lose Dylan Edwards. So you can kind of see that the depth might be a problem and might lose some games. And I think, but towards the end, they'll probably make it again because they do have enough stars if they're all fit. Eels and Bulldogs are very interesting. The Eels have a potential of being a real smoky this season. I think the fact that they've got so much experience in the halves, they've lost Gutherson and they lost Blaise Talungi. Now, Gutherson is a huge loss, but Talungi is a rookie. So I really don't understand the hysteria of losing a player like that right now, because I don't think it affects the team that much. I think they also have to have a pretty injury-free season. And, Bulldogs, I think Bulldogs are on the up and up. I think the Bulldogs have proven that they're doing well. But, remember what happened to the Warriors last year, right? The Warriors had a good 2023, but couldn't back it up in 2024.
All right.
Are you ready for some AI?
Let's do it. Let's see what Chad says.
Grand finalists, Melbourne Storm. Reason, the Storm are known for their consistency, strong leadership, and strategic depth. With players like Cameron Munster, Ryan Papenwisen, and a great forward pack, they are always a strong contender for the grand final. Penrith Panthers. Reason, despite some player departures, Penrith still has one of the most formidable teams in the competition. With the leadership of Nathan Cleary, ICEO, and a strong defensive game, they are likely to remain one of the toughest teams to beat. Grand final winner. Melbourne Storm. Reason, the Storm's experience, consistency in big games, and ability to perform under pressure may give them the edge over a slightly rebuilding Penrith side. Their established success and depth make them the likely team to lift the trophy. While predictions are never certain in the unpredictable world of sport, this matchup seems plausible given the team's recent dominance and squad strength.
Well, no surprise, Tish, you and Chad have been colluding, I think.
Yeah, that's right.
Exactly.
He's been doing my emails at work, so,
That's right.
So one and the same now, yeah.
So that's good to know. Look, obviously my one is a bit of a wish list, but you never know. Last year we had the matchup that we kind of expected, and it was kind of, it all landed. But I genuinely don't think the Panthers will... they'll suffer greatly by not having Luai there. I think I don't see them winning this year or making the grand final. I think the Storm, look, this is probably my last word about the Eels on this. If there's any team that has that's the bogey side for both the Storm and the Panthers over the last few years, it's the Parramatta Eels. For some reason, they've got the Storm and Panthers generally figured out. And so I'm hoping that with structure of Riles and some of the players stepping up that, the Eels will surprise some teams. So anyway, let's see. I've said this for the last 10 years running, so let's see if that changes. All right. Speaking of grand final, we often like having a bit of fun and thinking about who's going to be the halftime entertainment at the NRL grand final. We've had so many different guests ideas in the past, but Tish, who do you think is likely to be the NRL? Who's likely, not who we want to be there. Who do you think will actually be the halftime entertainment?
Okay, well, look, I was shocked to find out that they've actually changed the alphabet. It's no longer A B C D E F G. It's now R P T kissy face. So. And that's half of the Australian act with Rosé. So I think Rosé and Bruno Mars with their new hit song NRL, kissy face. So that's what I'd like to see for this year's grand final. Is it a wish? It's a prediction. It's a bit of both. But, if
we've always supported Australian acts. We want to bring the international guests. I think it's the perfect combination.
Look, that's look. I'm half on your side with one of these people, Bruno Mars, but I actually think that there's going to be a double act with Lady Gaga, and so I think Peter Volander's going to throw money at Bruno Mars and Lady Gaga to come in and do a bit of a reimagining of their song "Die with a Smile." Anyway, but I think it's going to be called "Pie with a Smile." And I think it'll be sponsored by Garlo's Pies. And so, you know, we're going to have international guests sponsored by local, food manufacturers and distributors. So looking forward to it. And obviously it's a major worldwide hit at the moment. So, you know, what better than to kind of reimagine it, like, you know, Weird Al Yankovic style. For an NRL grand final. That's my view. Does Chad have anything to say about this?
Chad is not.
Chad has made the wise choice of staying completely out of this. So it's very silent on it. Well done. All right. Now, obviously, that's the NRL grand final, but let's talk about State of Origin. Now, obviously, this is one of those things where, you know, we obviously are very passionate New South Welshmen, but we try our best to be unbiased in this one. So, very simple, who's going to win and what's the final score going to be in the series? Tish, yours.
Well, I think Queensland's going to win, and I think they're going to win 3-0. I know that sounds really harsh, but look, I heard Laurie Daly, he's the new New South Wales coach, and I heard him on a podcast making fun of the great Tommy Radonikis's, defensive strategy of just go up and bash him, right? But they were laughing, giggling away, but I realized that Tommy has got a better winning record as coach than what Laurie Daly has, right? Right, so I'm like, you know, I kind of... Kind of put me off a little bit, if I'm being honest. It was a great story. It was fun. But I just think that, hey, you know, Loza, you know, he's going to really have to pull out something different than what he did when he towards the end of his tenure. And I just don't think he does. Whereas, like Billy Slater, he's journaling when he's coaching out there. You know, he's a student of the game. He takes it seriously. He throws a few banana peels. Doesn't really handle the media that well, but throws a few banana peel comments out here and there. And I think he's going to play the game a lot. I think he's going to play the game better than Loza. And I think that's got a big part, that mental gap. So I just think that Queensland, you know, they've got like a tried and true coaching structure. New South Wales have had, well, they've had Maguire for, was it just a year? I think it was. Yeah,
just one year. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Just one year. And then now, you know, 2 years ago, they had Brad Fittler. Then they got Laurie Daly. I think, instability equals uncertainty, and I think that's why Queensland will dominate us this year.
Well, I've taken a different approach completely. Now, you might think, well, with Maguire not there, is everything's going to fall into a heap, but that's not always how things go in State of Origin. Remembering it's about the best players, you know, getting, well, the first thing that needs to happen, which is always a problem with New South Wales, is that we've got to select the right players and not panic and select people that are, just in form for three games and then, but have no experience at this level. So assuming, and it's a big assumption, that New South Wales actually picks the best squad and that their best players are actually going well, then it's all about what happens, you know, what can the coach do to facilitate that and bring the best out of them. Now, by Maguire, I think, you know, any obvious kind of pundit, I think we kind of predicted as soon as he was announced as the coach that he would dominate. I think I predicted a New South Wales 3-0 victory last year, and I think what was it, 2-1 or whatever, but it's still, it felt like a 3-0 victory because it was, I think Billy Slater was shown to be completely shown up by the skill level of Maguire. And I thought this was actually a turning point for New South Wales. Some of the players that in the past haven't really gelled, or they gelled sort of, you know, sporadically, I thought, really brought it all together in the last series last year. And I think even though Maguire's not there, I think the fact that all those players have grown in experience means that that Laurie Daly's job won't be to coach them. His job will be to motivate them to use their instincts, and because he was such an instinctual type player. So because of that, I actually think they'll do better this year than last year. And again, it doesn't mean that Laurie Daly's a better coach. It just means he is the right coach for this team, assuming the same team or thereabouts gets picked. You know, with the level of kind of experience of an Isaiah Yeo and a Cleary and all that kind of stuff, and Luai, who I think will all go into form at the right time. So because of that, I think they'll go 3-0 this year. So that's a complete polar opposite of yours, Tish, where you're predicting Queensland 3-0. But I've given my reasons, and I'm hoping that's what we see. I'm certainly hoping that we're not going to have another repeat of years gone by where we've just looked like we're on the cusp of a legacy of a dynasty, and then we just fall away because we just completely fumble. We fumble a try inches over the, you know, but we drop the ball over the line, that kind of thing. It feels like that sometimes in New South Wales. Queensland are a lot better with having that stability and have been in years gone by, and I think that's why they've dominated in the last two decades compared to us. So I'm hoping that that's actually turning around. I think we are starting to have that stability. Cleary, Luai, Yeo and others, even though, you know, some of these players have gone to different, and Crichton, they've gone to different NRL teams, but they've still got that same kind of Penrith mentality that they grew up together. That's what I'm hoping to see.
Well, I think the New South Wales team is a bit of a Penrith reunion team, right? It's the Penrith Panthers reunion tour, right? Like, you know, it sort of feels like that. But look, let's go to AI. Let's see what ChatGPT has reasoned for State of Origin 2025.
State of Origin 2025. Queensland Maroons. Reason: Queensland team has a strong core with veterans like Cameron Munster and Kalen Ponga continuing to be crucial figures. They also have a deep pool of talented young players like Ruben Cotter and Harry Grant, giving them the versatility to compete at the highest level. Their recent success and the blend of experience and youth could lead them to victory in 2025. Series result: Queensland Maroons 2-1 over New South Wales Blues. Reason: while New South Wales remains a formidable opponent with standout players like Nathan Cleary and James Tedesco, Queensland's ability to step up in big moments and their dominant performances at home in Queensland could give them the edge in a tight series. State of Origin series are always fiercely contested, and both teams will be eager to prove themselves in 2025.
Well, there you go.
I mean, he's lost all credibility by mentioning James Tedesco. Sorry, Chad. I don't believe you no more. although you never know. I mean, look, I don't know. I got to say, interesting. I didn't even talk about it before. There was a team we didn't even mention in our top eight predictions, the Roosters. Neither of us think the Roosters will get into that top eight, which is interesting. They've obviously lost a lot of players. So I think with Tedesco kind of on the downhill slide as well, I think they're going to struggle this year. But anyway, back to this. Look, 2-1 Queensland. So he's found a middle ground between us, Chad. So there you go. Look, let's move on. The biggest rugby league news story of the year. You know, there have been big news stories. They continue to be big news stories. We hope that they're not all negative. So this is one of those predictions that it isn't just about, you know, scandals or whatever. I think that's our next prediction, actually, after that. This is just about the biggest news story. So what is going to, you know, dominate the headlines in terms of rugby league? Hopefully it's a good thing. Tish, do you want to have a first go at this?
Yeah, look, maybe because I've just read the NRL annual report, which is probably a good topic to talk about in future episodes. But, you know, with record deals, you know, we're $250 million away from being a billion-dollar sport, right? So $749 billion was our revenues last year. Crazy. Well,
wow.
Million, sorry.
Wow.
Yeah, that's a lot. Yeah, it is. And it's actually bigger than any rugby competition, like domestic rugby competition. So NRL is doing really, really well. And I think with that, it also attracts foreign investment. And look, you know, the Australian Labor Party in the 1970s were able to broker a Saudi Arabian deal for a Pakistani bookmaker. And, you know, we've got Labor in power at the moment, and Albo is very creative, a massive, massive South Sydney Rabbitohs fan. He knows the game. And I think he's going to use his contacts in Pakistan to reach out to the rich Saudi Arabian royalty and get Saudi Arabia to invest into the NRL, whether it's buying out the new franchise, whether it's running their own nines tournament or something like that. But I think I'm going to predict a Saudi Arabian investment into rugby league and into the NRL.
Wow, that is quite big news, you know, especially with all the stuff that's going on in world sport. We've seen that, you know, in soccer as well, they've been increasing their profile, buying big players and enticing them to go over there. So this will be a big one. I mean, I wonder if they feel like there'll be an investment there with the return that's worth investing in. So that's an interesting one. That will be a big one. Look, I'm going to revisit last year's crystal ball. I'm thinking that last year when I saw this in the crystal ball, maybe I was off a little bit in terms of the timing, but yep. it's the same prediction. I think this time, and this is perfectly based on what you just said about the NRL just getting better and better with its finances and being much more financially viable than ever before, really. I think this time it will happen. I think the NRL is going to save Super League over there in England. It is not going so well. I think a lot of the metrics are showing that it's struggling. It's certainly not making money. It's certainly poorly managed. Not expanding. There was a period, I think, before COVID where you started to have other teams from France, etc., and Toronto was about to go in there, and it all just fell apart. And I think now that the NRL is flush with money, there's absolutely no reason why it can't buy out Super League and rebrand it potentially to something that makes more sense and sort of shows a bit more unity across the globe in the world of rugby league. That will be very much a point of discussion at some point during the year. I'm hoping that if this does happen, or if the rumours, because there have been rumours in the off season about this, so I'm not just making this up. There is definitely talk about. I think I saw an article where someone actually outright asked Peter Volandis if this was an option, and I don't think he said no. I think he was just like, well, you know, we'll look into it, that kind of thing, and certainly we're doing well financially. So that's not a quote. I just kind of vaguely remember him not totally dismissing the idea as a stupid idea. So I'm actually looking forward to seeing a world in rugby league where we actually take advantage of the fact that we've got financial people with great financial and business acumen who are able to turn a profit. and you know, we always talk about the money going back to grassroots or whatever. Well, we've never had the money, but now we are starting to get the money. So all this stuff that's happening with Vegas is all part of this. NRL is doing well financially, and I think this year will be the year where they actually bite the bullet and make a real major. They're going to buy Super League. It's not really a takeover. I think it's just or maybe it is a bit of a takeover, but it'll be a good kind of takeover where it's just about making sure, you know, you get good business people who are aligned and don't compete against each other as two major rugby league competitions, but actually work in unison. And I think the best way to do that is for the bigger one, the NRL, to actually buy out the smaller one and adopt its good practices. So, yeah. So that's my prediction for biggest story of the year. Does Chad have something to say?
Yeah, look, he does. But before he goes out, I think I really like your prediction. I think, and I really want to see that happen. I've also seen that the Super League, despite having some really lean years of late, they've actually had record crowds for the opening two rounds this year, as well as stronger TV audience. And I think that has to do with the fact that they've also got a Las Vegas game on this weekend. So I think that NRL influence is already showing, and it's actually bringing out a positive result. So it would be a great thing for the game if this was to happen. But let's find out what Chad GPT has to say.
Prediction: a major player signing or transfer that shakes up the NRL and International Rugby League. Possible scenario: in 2025, a high-profile player from overseas, such as from the English Super League or another international competition, might make a surprise move to the NRL, creating a massive ripple effect. For example, a star from the English Super League, like Sam Tompkins or John Bateman, could move to a top-tier NRL club. This would not only spark excitement in Australia, but could also shift the balance of power within the competition. Alternatively, a retirement or surprise return from a legendary player could dominate headlines. Think along the lines of a major figure like Cameron Smith, Billy Slater, or Cooper Cronk coming out of retirement for one last season.
Wow.
Or a dramatic farewell to an NRL career. A story like this would captivate fans and attract national attention. International implications. Another potential news story could involve the growth of rugby league in the Pacific Islands. If the NRL makes a bold move to expand or heavily invest in a competition's development in countries like Tonga, Fiji, or Samoa, it could lead to a transformative year for International Rugby League, with Pacific Island teams potentially entering or being heavily integrated into future NRL seasons. Expansion or restructuring of the NRL. If the NRL officially expands by introducing new teams or revisits the international competition format, this could be
a... Okay, he's had too many predictions. I'm cutting him in short.
Is that too many? They're all good. These are almost... I think Chad is kind of mapping out our topics for the year. I think there's a lot we can discuss. But look, I like them. I don't think having a Sam Tompkins or John Bateman join an NRL team is going to be transformative. I don't think there's going to be a surprise Cam Smith or Cooper Cronk return to the rugby league world. I do like the idea of the growth of the Pacific Island, the rugby league in Pacific Islands, and also NRL expansion. I think these are going to happen as well, but I think, for instance, you know, the reason why I said, and both of us have gone for something a bit bigger than just the NRL going, you know, announcing, say, Perth Bears or something. Like, that's a big news story, but we've talked about it endlessly last year, so it's not new. I think this time, with the ones that we've both predicted, if these do happen, they will be major changes and transformative, as Chad said. It's a good word. But I think, I'm not that convinced that Chad's got the crystal ball going there with that one. But look, the flip side of this is we often talk about rugby league scandals. Predicting the biggest RL scandal of the year is often easy to do, because you just pick a particular vice, and sure enough, someone will in the rugby league world will have done something about it. But look, I'll leave it open to you. 1 point for this one. What prediction do you have?
Well, look, I think it's almost like a news item, not necessarily a prediction, because it's already starting to head this way. But I feel like one of the Canberra Raiders players will be lost in Las Vegas, and he won't even return like back, because I think they've had a pretty crazy time already. You know, there's been the situation around the fight that two of them had, you know, the inflated baseball bat, you know, being confiscated as a weapon. You know, they've had a pool party that went wrong. They had something to do, and this is all before they've played, by the way. They've had a situation where they where the same field that they were going to train on was already booked out by a under 12s flag football women's team. Right. So I just feel like Canberra absolutely not really organizing it this well. They've named a player on debut. There is talk that they've told their parents, but it's going to be hard for their parents to come and see their son play. Anyway, so there's a couple of things like that they just haven't got right, to the point where I feel like, they'll do a head count on the way back, and two or three players might have already just, you know, have had to stay back in Las Vegas for several reasons. So I'm predicting that something related with something going heavily wrong for the Raiders in Canberra as being the scandal. How about you?
Oh, look, I reckon there'll be a betting scandal, which you might think, well, it's pretty hard to do in rugby league because it's a team sport and it's hard to sort of control certain things. But I think there will be, unfortunately, a player that from a team that is probably, you know, not necessarily not known for being arrogant. Let me say that again. From a team that is has been known to be arrogant in the past, and I think we'll, you and Chad have predicted they're going to do well this year, and I think that's going to lead to some players getting a bit too full of themselves and making an error in judgment, and that will involve them possibly, to be more precise, I'm thinking there will be a Storm player that will be suspended because of a betting scandal. It'll be something that won't be big, but it will be scandalous in the sense that it will be, you know, someone just having a crazy bet when they shouldn't be because they're a player. They don't realize that they're, you know, a bit of a dumb move, but that's going to be the biggest scandal because they will be suspended. It won't be just like, you know, have the weekend off. It'll be a major suspension. I think, that's all I'm seeing on the horizon. Is Chad going to weigh in on this?
Yes. So this is the last of the Chad GPT predictions. So here we go.
Prediction: a major gambling or match fixing scandal involving high profile players. Possible scenario: with increasing scrutiny on betting, player integrity, and match fixing in Australian sports, a high-profile player might become embroiled in a gambling-related scandal. This could involve a player being accused of betting on matches, either within the NRL or on other sports, or even potentially influencing the outcome of games. The NRL has already taken a strong stance on gambling-related issues, but in 2025, such a scandal could dominate the headlines if it involves a well-known star or series of players. The fallout could include suspensions, fines, and massive public backlash, especially if it's tied to significant results in the season, such as a key game in the finals or a marquee player involved. This would be a major story given the media's sensitivity to match fixing and gambling ethics.
Wow.
Well, there you go. I mean, I don't know what to say. I think we've been looking at the...
I think he's been hinting at the Melbourne Storm, but just not saying it as well, I think. When he's describing the team probably, as well. So
probably. All right, that's good. All right, well, let's move on. Another thing that we often do is predict, well, it often happens, so it's not like as if it, you know, we are short of ideas or possibilities. So it is plausible that during the year an NRL coach will be sacked. So we are always predicting when will the next actually the prediction is who's going to be the first NRL coach to be sacked. And if you can predict when he will be sacked, you get a bonus point. So 2 points on offer here. Let's see. Well, I think I'm predicting, is it from Newcastle Knights, Adam O'Brien? Yeah. I'm tipping round 12. Round 12 seems to be thereabouts every year, the right time. So round 12 for mine for no absolute reason or rational reason at all. What about you, Tish?
Yeah, I'm also predicting Adam O'Brien. Now, I suppose in other years I've been a bit more aggressive with my prediction, as in like, yeah, I kind of think it's going to happen. I think this year was really hard for me to predict that because I could also say a season where all the coaches survive, right? I could say that because the teams that are predicted to sort of fall are kind of like the Roosters, right? But they're not going to get... Trent Robinson, I don't think, even if they end up running last, I don't think he's going to get sacked necessarily, right? So I think it's that we've got a couple of teams that have struggled in the last few years, have got new coaches in, so they're going to get at least the season. So the only person that sort of, you know, hasn't really made the top eight in the last couple of years, has had a fair run now, is Adam O'Brien. But you could sort of go, well, Ricky Stewart's kind of very similar as well, right? But Ricky is so connected to the Raiders that he's probably not going to get the sack. Adam O'Brien, he is quite connected to Newcastle. Like, I don't know who would replace him straight away, but I think he's probably the one that would be the most likely. I mean, so yes, I've picked Adam O'Brien. And then Yeah, I'm probably saying that because I'm maybe in denial of maybe Benji being the top person. But I think the Tigers want stability this year. So I could also see him having a bad season, but not necessarily getting replaced until the end of the season as well. So, yeah.
All right. The next prediction is the NRL Rising Star. And so, look, with this one point as well. We've been okay in years gone by in terms of predicting who the rising star will be. This year I've gone for someone who's actually replaced King Gutho in the Eels at fullback, Isaiah Yonge, who I think will be a superstar this year. And I think under Jason Riles, I think will... yeah, we'll absolutely flourish. So here's my prediction. What about you, Tish?
Yeah, look, I'm going to go with Blaise Talangi, who is moving to the Panthers. I say this because I think he's going to be Paul Alamotti 2.0. You know, because Alamotti was kind of, you know, sort of fringe NRL player and then, you know, has turned out to be quite a good signing. And now they're number one centre, I think, really, since they... have lost centers throughout the years. So, or they've still got Isaac Tagle, right? So, yeah, so I think Blaze is going to shine. And, you know, it's a great team to go to, right? The reigning premier. So that's why I think Blaze is going to be that rising star for the Panthers this year.
All right. What's our next one? Hang on. Rising star. So, all right, the Renaissance player of the year. So this is basically our player that we predict, you know, has fallen out of favor or is, you know, lost a bit of form, but was previously a star and needs to do a comeback, basically. So, look, this year I'm tipping someone, and this is going to be intimately linked to the re-rise and the comeback of the Broncos under Coach McGuire, is Ben Hunt. So I think Ben Hunt is, you know, I guess his tenure at the Dragons went well enough, but there were definitely some difficulties and struggles. But yet he seems to sort of do really well in Queensland State of Origin and without too many dramas. So for whatever reason, I think Ben Hunt is absolutely motivated to sort of make a massive comeback and remind people why he's so well regarded in State of Origin. So Ben Hunt, I think, will definitely, this year is the year, and he will lead them, you know, lead or co-lead, whichever way you look at it, with Adam Reynolds there, to the Broncos to the finals again. And they'll be a force to be reckoned with. So Ben Hunt, I think, is mine. What about you, Tish?
Yeah, I'm going to pick for the Dragons their new recruit, Valentine Holmes. Valentine Holmes, you know, he sort of went into the NFL and, you know, came back and then obviously was a big signing for the Cowboys, but the Cowboys decided to get rid of him. But he looked really good in the trials. And I think this is going to be like, you know, he's always played Origin throughout the whole time. So it's kind of weird to put him as a Renaissance player. But I think this year he's going to do a job for the Dragons. And I think this is why one of the reasons why the Dragons will make the eight, because of, you know, maybe Valentine Holmes, you know, challenging Crichton for, you know, the Dally M Centre of the Year.
Wow, that's a big one. A good one though, because I think what we're saying is we're banking on some of these players, both Queenslanders, mind you, basically coming back and leading their team to the top eight. So, all right, we'll see what happens. Couple more to go. We've got the predicting the biggest NRL hero of the year. And this doesn't always need to be a player, and in my case, it isn't. I'm actually picking Jason Riles as the NRL Hero of the Year because he will lead the Parramatta Eels to their long-awaited premiership. What about you, Dish?
Yeah, well, look, I think my inspiration for this was a bit of a debate about, you know, if you have somebody who was a king, but you know they're no longer part of that kingdom, what does it make them? You know, and I'm referring to Clint Gutherson, who was King Gutherson, but obviously he's lost his Parramatta Eels, royalty hood. So I don't know. So he's can he still be called Clint Gutherson? I don't think so. But he is moving to St. George Dragons. So I will now. I don't know what do they call it? Coronate him or whatever as St. Gutherson, the hero of the St. George Dragons. So looking to slay his opponents in 2025. So I think Clint Gutherson is going to have an absolute amazing season and just show Mr. Riles that he can play and, you know, and he should be captain. You bet on the wrong horse there, buddy.
Well, two opposing predictions. Only one can be right. Only one can be right. So, look, the flip side of this, and this is our final one, predict the biggest NRL villain of the year. We've had, some interesting ones. I'm going to pick someone who has, I don't know. I'll let you start off, and then I'll predict my one.
Yeah, well, look, what I think is that I think there's going to be a villain in the NRL to do with something around sports betting. The reason why I say that is because it is been quite topical in sort of Parliament and sort of in news outside of the NRL. I think even PVL has copped a little bit of criticism on what he feels it is. That. So we're talking about sports advertising and, you know, marketing to children and several different things and how much we open up and how much we don't, all that kind of stuff. So I feel like it could be PVL, it could be something related to a team, but I really think that sports betting and the NRL being on the wrong side of it could be a bit of an issue. So I think the villain in terms of NRL growth this year could actually be sports betting and the damage it might do to the NRL. So that's what I've predicted as the villain. So I know it's not a particular person, but it's more of an issue that I think can derail our growth a little bit.
Yeah, look, my one is related to my prediction about the scandal of the year, which which obviously the ChatGPT also predicted a gambling and betting scandal. And I think the culprit from the storm will be Cameron Munster. Oh, wow. I am gonna. My crystal ball is quite clear on this. I think he will make an error in judgment. He doesn't mean to, but you know, he just accidentally put a bet on in an app, and that's all traceable.
Yeah,
it's all traceable.
You've been talking to the FBI's behavioral science unit, right? Doing an analysis on NRL players to see who's most likely, and he's fit the profile. Is that what you're saying?
Well, I think there's a new TV show coming out called CSI NRL, and I think there's so many things happening that they've decided to, they've got enough stories for its own series. So, you know, there you go. But yeah, look, this is all just mucking around. Hopefully, Munster is going to have a great year. I think he's a good guy, but you know. let's see what happens, but for other reasons maybe he might be the villain of the year. I think look, he'll be villain come State of Origin time when it comes to New South Wales Blues. I think so. Many reasons why he might be voted there as the villain of the year, but look, if that's the final word, Chad's not going to say anything else, so we are going to wrap this up. That's it for our predictions for the year. Thank you for joining us, everyone, for our first episode of the year, our crystal ball episode. We look forward to kind of digging this up and dusting it off at the end of the year and seeing how crazy our predictions were. But let's see. Hopefully, it's going to be a great year. We're looking forward to it being a great year for us as well, our 10th year of the podcast. Thanks for joining us. Don't forget, we're also available for feedback. You can email us at rrepublic@gmail.com. Check us out. Our podcasts and anything else we put out will be on rrepublic.com. We will also indicate to you via Facebook and Twitter and wherever else, but you can catch us on iTunes. And we are also exploring other platforms as well. So stay tuned for that. But if you are on iTunes, please subscribe to our podcast, leave some comments, and download our episodes. But look, that's it. That's a wrap for episode one of this year, which is actually technically episode 336 of our entire podcast series. So that's a lot of episodes. Thank you very much for listening to us. Tish, I'll let you have the final word and sign off.
Well, thank you, Dr. T. Welcome back, everybody, for NRL Season 2025. But that's all the time that we have for this episode of the Rugby League Republic. We are your hosts, Tish and Dr. T. Join us next time on the Rugby League Republic. Bye for now.